Hey everybody, what is up? Chad Wesley Smith here. Another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. I'm joined, as always, via the phone today, though, by my co-host, my cohort, Magnificent Max Montana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing, Chad?
Good, good, good. So today, we want to talk about something that's getting a lot of discussion in the strength sports world right now, and it is the impending powerlifting meet debut of reigning World Strongest Man, reigning Arnold Strongman champion, the Mountain Thor, Half Thor Bjornsson. He's doing a meet at his own gym, Thor's Power Gym, there in Iceland. Everyone is wondering, what is he gonna lift? So we wanted to talk a little bit about giving our predictions for his performance, as well as talking about some other famous strength sport crossover athletes and some things that you can do if you want to compete in multiple strength sports, some things that you could do to help yourself in doing that, and maybe some other people who we'd like to see give another sport a shot. That we think could do well, or just kind of curious to what their results would be. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. In terms of famous strength sport crossovers, it seemed like there's a lot more of these the farther you go back in history, and that might be something we address a little bit more in terms of things you could do if you want a crossover, but Paul Anderson, Bruce Wilhelm, Ken Patera, those are three definitely, Paul Anderson back into the 50s, and then yeah. Wilhelm and Patera more in the 60s and 70s. But what do you know about those guys in terms of their weightlifting prowess, Max?
Well, Paul Anderson was an Olympic medalist, and Wilhelm was one of the best U.S. lifters of the time. As was Patera. I think kind of what you said earlier, where we talked about back in the day, crossing over was more commonplace. And I know that for a fact, they used to hold bodybuilding competitions after weightlifting meets. So, the three lift weightlifting meet ends at midnight, and then the bodybuilding show starts at 1 a.m. So it was just a much more common practice. Those three guys you mentioned were all really high-level weightlifters. Patera was battling with Alexiev. He was the first guy to clean and press 500 pounds. Wilhelm was first American guy to snatch 400 pounds. Paul Anderson, obviously, was, a legend and still legendary to this day for his, his feats of strength.
Yeah, and Bruce Wilhelm's all over the place too, because he has powerlifting, yeah, weightlifting. He was a college wrestler at a very high level, also a college track and field athlete. So he was a very talented, athletic guy.
Yeah, for sure. Jim Schmitz actually mentioned those two guys once in a story. He was saying that Patera was the strongest guy he'd ever coached, Mario Martira, and then Bruce Wilhelm was the best weightlifter he ever coached.
Best athlete.
Best athlete, and then Mario was the best weightlifter. So, obviously, I think having a huge kind of foundation of athleticism and just being a gifted athlete lends itself well to, transitioning from one sport to the next.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, kind of 60s, 70s era guys, seem to have more of the crossover ability, whether it was Al Feuerbach in weightlifting and throwing, John Cole, who we'll talk about more, Don Reinhout doing World's Strongest Man and powerlifting. I wonder how much of that is just culture, that maybe it's tough to say, at least in powerlifting, that the sport wasn't as competitive, because if anything, it may have been more competitive. Not that there was as many good lifters, but the structure of federations forced them into much more head-to-head. So, that specialization at least is not that big of an argument there. how much of it do you think had to do with like people growing up in a more rural culture?
I think for sure that it probably played a big part. I mean, I think people were so, I mean, if you look at the background, a lot of those guys, not saying that they were all like farm kids, but they all like played sports in school from a young age. They were really active. They, you know, I'm sure Paul Anderson was a very active youth doing lots of work and stuff in Southern Georgia. Like, you know, they're definitely rural. They're definitely not growing up, you know, with electronics and sitting inside all day. But I think in addition to that, it was sort of a more, not saying it definitely wasn't a more acceptable track in life, but it was just a more normal thing was, you know, throughout your schooling and as a child, you're playing sports.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like an optional thing. And I'm sure for a lot of those guys, it was, you know, it was just the natural progression. You know, you went from youth sports to high school to college. And then some of those guys, you know, not say any one of those particular guys played some kind of semi-pro or pro or something like that kind of sport, whether, you know, Olympics or something like that.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to see now, like when Marissa talks about her son at school, like how restricted they are in what they can, you know, they're not even like allowed to run out on the playground because everyone is so fearful of lawsuits. And, you know, for me, I went to a pretty small private school that had a freakish athletic population that, you know, I went to school pretty much the same kids, kindergarten through eighth grade. And we had 24 boys and 24 girls in our class. And of those 24 boys that I graduated eighth grade with, I was one of eight to get Division I athletic scholarship. So, wow. You know, a third of the class, and there was guys who were national champions and a national player of the year in volleyball, who were both like 6'5" when we were in eighth grade. College water polo players, another track... I think three volleyball, two water polo, and two or three track guys. But you know, just this very, very athletic group, which led to about kindergarten through seventh grade, I'd say the most competitive lunchtime games ever, all the time. Like, you know, from the second the bell rang to as late as we could stay out there, it was basketball for a couple months and then soccer for a couple months and what, you know, handball, three flies up, whatever it was, like we were doing it as intensely as we possibly could. And that goes a long way. And you know, I was not exposed to really any manual labor growing up in Orange County, but that's the thing that for a strength athlete particularly, I think is difficult to quantify, and a lot of people overlook when talking about some of these older athletes or you know, lifters in coming from like third world countries. I don't know if that's the right term anymore, but you know, if you grew up, my mom grew up on a farm in northern Minnesota. And my uncles were not big guys, but they were very strong, you know, farm strong kind of guys. And if you grow up from the time you're 6 or 7 years old, they start giving you whatever physical chores you can do. And you have to do, you know, you're doing 2 hours of those 4 or 5 times a week. And then you get older and you can handle more. And you're, you know, up until summers when you're, you know, probably 12 till you leave home during the summer, they're probably doing that shit, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week. And if someone has accumulated through that, you know, 10,000 hours, not to pick that as the 10,000 hour rule, but 10,000 hours of labor, and someone else, you know, by the time that they're 18 years old and someone else starts lifting weights at 18, how the fuck could they ever catch up the GPP of that 10,000 hours of labor? It's just never going to happen.
Yeah, it's also those really sensitive developmental times, too, where, you know, developing the ability, the work capacity to tolerate really hard, you know, training later in life if you didn't do any of that when you were, you know, between the ages of probably 12 and 19 or 18, like, you miss out on those times to build that, you know, that ability to train and then just general fitness outside of, you know, strength or explosiveness. You're going to develop, you know, work capacity and, strength and those kind of things that are probably hard to catch up to.
I think develop not just the physical capacity for doing it, and that time is particularly sensitive for that, but also the mental and emotional capacity of, I'm going to just do the same shit a lot every day. But before we get caught up too much on that, so talking about some other, you know, famous strength sport crossovers, Mark Henry and Shane Haymon, I think two real standouts, well-known guys in the U.S., going from powerlifting to weightlifting, a bit more of the rare transition, and going to multiple Olympics for the U.S. there. Mark Henry having some exposure in strongman, winning the first Arnold. Stan Efferding, you know, bodybuilding, powerlifting, crossover. Other guys been successful there, like Amit Sapir.
Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah, not as many people as I would think are making that crossover, especially not to success as full meat lifters. You know, Amit has many squat records, but
not so much bench though, or deadlift. Really.
Yeah, he had like a ton of torn biceps and stuff. Yeah. So his other lifts were very. He was about as close to being a squat only lifter as you could be. You get a guy like Johnny Jackson, really successful bodybuilder, and he's done some push pull stuff, but not squatting in meets that I know of. I'm kind of surprised that there's not a lot more there. I know on the women's side of things, Christy Hawkins was, you know, a notable bodybuilder and a tremendous powerlifter. Eve Dunbar, she's incredible powerlifter, and I believe an IFBB pro. I'm not sure if that came before or during her powerlifting time. Maybe the most successful and least known female crossover strength athlete is Weiling Chen, or Chen Weiling from China, Chinese Taipei, who has a number of IPF world records, both equipped and raw. A very famous video of her from World Championships, Single Ply World Championships several years ago, where she squatted like 210 kilos at 47 kilo body weight, I think. And that was... 210 at 46.75 body weight. And she had to walk it out like three times to get set right. She's got the squat, bench, like squat, deadlift, and total world records in the 47s in equipment, and the squat record, and maybe still the total record. Just because of the rules of how it has to be set in a world meet, I think the squat and total record raw at 47 as well. Besides that, now a gold medalist in the 2008 Olympics. Originally won bronze in the 48s with 84-112. And was later upgraded to gold through retroactive testing. So
those numbers too are just staggering. It doesn't sound, 210 kilos might not be the biggest number you ever heard in reference to squatting, but at that body weight, I mean, that's like, it's just absolutely insane how strong she was.
Yeah, I mean, well over four times body weight squat and equipment. 152.5 raw squat in the 47 kilo class, and I've seen a video of her with like one knee wrap on in the Chinese weightlifting gym squatting what I think was like 170.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so just unbelievable And if you got a gold medal and, you know, a handful of IPF world records, that's pretty amazing. Another weightlifter you were telling me about, who's, I'll let you pronounce his name and say his resume.
There's a Russian 77, he was a 77 kilo lifter in Russia, Oleg Perepechenov. He had one of the longest standing records on the books. It was 210 kilo clean and jerk at 77. 2004 gold medalist in Athens. Later, I think he was stripped of that via retroactive testing. But now he has embraced that lifestyle, as far as I can tell, because he weighs about 100 kilos. Same height. And there's a video of him. I know he benched 280 kilos and smooth, very, very, very smooth bench press. Not, I mean, it really
raw
split technique, just incredibly strong. So he's obviously made the transition over.
280 raw? Else.
What's that?
280 raw bench?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's in a, you know, I'm sure it's like an untested federation and whatnot, but I couldn't believe it when I saw it. And I saw him, he's got an Instagram that doesn't really have a lot of, you know, maybe like a few videos of him lifting on there, doing some sets, you know, like 10s with 190 and stuff like that. But there's an extremely powerful and just a really like ridiculously strong bencher. I know he did a meet a few years ago. Maybe he did a 320 squat with no sleeves, weighing about 200 pounds, about 90 kilos. And then did a, I want to say like a 305 or a 320 deadlift or something like that. But I don't know if he actually does full power meets now. But, you know, extremely powerful, super, super strong. And there's a Bulgarian 77 as well. I'm not sure if he's actually competed in powerlifting or not, but I've seen him posting videos of powerlifts, Ivan Stoytsov, and he looks like he's about another 100 kilo guy. From 77 to 100, you know, transitioning into a different sport, but I'm not sure if he's still lifting or not, or actually competing in that sport. But impressive to see that, especially the bench press from a weightlifter.
Yeah, that is remarkable. I'm having a hard time finding.
Let me see if I can find
him on like Open Powerlifting or anything, but
yeah.
Let's see if we find him in bench only here.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Oleg. Yes, 280 in the 100 kilo class. He weighed 96.7.
Yeah.
And benched 280 on August 25th. That is unbelievable. It is the 38th highest bench press of all time by Wilkes, and has got to be the world record in the hundreds by quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, and I would be willing to bet he's probably like one of those guys who's probably weighing about 100. Like I doubt if he was really weighing much more.
It said he was 96.7.
Right. Yeah. There you go. 96 kilo guy benching. You know, it's funny, like, the guy's basically totally off the radar because, I mean, for one, it's bench only, so, you know. But, I mean, truly remarkable. I knew he lifted. I saw, out of nowhere, some random feed pop up. I knew who he was when I saw it. I was amazed by it. I just sent you the video of that 280. You guys should check it out on Instagram. It's Oleg_Perepechenov. Just ridiculously strong, you know? Yeah, totally nuts. I remember hearing something, Klokov had an interview once where he was talking to somebody else on the national team or whatever, and they were talking about that guy, and they were talking about him like with this kind of like fondness, like, oh yeah, he was like a machine. He was like, you know, amazing in the gym. He would just dominate everything. So it's kind of cool to know that he's actually still doing something.
Yeah. So I think our three real standout all-time strength sport crossover guys are Bill Kazmaier, Misha Kokhlaev, and John Cole. So Kaz, of course, you know, top in the world powerlifting, multiple time world's strongest man, a little bit of Highland Games mixed in there as well. Misha, you know, Olympic caliber, world champion, championship level weightlifter, 210, 255. And then, you know, all time great powerlifter, especially in the deadlift, as well as a podium finisher at World's Strongest Man. I don't know if he ever did any Highland Games stuff, but I'm sure if he did, he was amazing at it as well. And then John Cole, who is a world-class track athlete, throwing, especially in the discus in college, made some massive powerlifting totals, 2364 at 288 body weight, you know, with the old ace bandage type of knee wraps.
Yeah.
Not specific to John Cole, but just as a side of people who are always like, oh, you know, those knee sleeves today are like knee wraps back then. I will give it the multiply crowd some acknowledgement, and they're always saying like, well, everyone's always trying to get the most out of their gear. Like, yeah, people put tighter knee sleeves on and stuff, but back then, and this is direct from conversations with Bruce Wilhelm, possibly slightly inebriated Bruce Wilhelm at 2015 weightlifting nationals in that one bar restaurant that we spent the entire weekend. But he's talking about these guys, you know, sewing multiple ace bandages on top of each other, the tennis balls behind the knees, the jean shorts underneath the singlet. I mean, they might have just been never nudes, but the but you know, definitely people in the John Cole era were taking advantage of a very new and loosely structured sport at that time. Not to say him specifically, but the just to contextualize, like 2364 at 288 is insane. It would be insane if he did it today on specialty bars with the brand spanking new pair of knee wraps and the tightest singlet that he could find. But it's just a bit ambiguous as to how much less assistance he would have been getting back in 1972 when he set that. Same kind of thing, like, you know, when we've done strength history minutes and stuff, and people are like, well, what about Paul Anderson? It's like, yeah. Paul Anderson was a very good Olympic, you know, level weightlifter, but the powerlifting stuff, it's too unverifiable for me to go along with some of the things.
Yeah. It's also, you know, you got to remember too, like, I think, you know, it's like so many of those things that those guys, that, like Paul Anderson, for example, there's a lot of things he did that were, you know, witnessed by people. And there's not a ton of super verifiable information. Not saying that to claim they're not accurate, but I kind of am saying, who knows the exact standards and whatnot. And
yeah, they didn't take those barrels and put them on a calibrated scale right after and see that they weighed 1,200 pounds.
Right, and I don't think the holes that he would dig in the sand and squat in were dug with an IPF approved shovel.
Yeah, because we have to draw the line somewhere on that kind of stuff, because if it's anything goes in terms of stories that have been heard, I mean, in the stories of Uncle Jim, Greg Knuckles' uncle, Uncle Jim, Greg at least talks about them taking that anchor through like a truck weigh station and having some, you know, level of verification on him picking up a 1,200 pound anchor. But yeah, to finish off with John Cole there, you know, huge, huge powerlifting totals, high national level weightlifter, also competed in World's Strongest Man. So just the diversity of his accomplishments, I think, cannot be overlooked. And the newest man looking to add his name to this history of the crossover athletes, so he's certainly done that already in Strongman, and well, he's more famous than all these people put together, to be honest, because he's on Game of Thrones, is Thor Bjornsson, who in about 2 weeks will be competing in his first powerlifting meet, a full power powerlifting meet, belt and knee wraps, so classic raw, I think is the term for that. And ton of speculation about what he's done. The heaviest lifts that I can think of that he's done in the gym was last year. He squatted a very, very strong looking 970 pounds in knee wraps, certainly. I'm not sure how much he's deadlifted without straps. I know he did a couple of pretty solid-looking 400-kilo pulls, maybe two or three singles with that last week or the week before. I think the bench press is the real question mark for him and maybe any non-Eddie Hall strongman competitor.
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of videos of, like, in the range, somewhere in the range of, like, 200 to 230-ish for reps, which, you know, is very solid, but you know, from a super heavyweight standpoint, I would be amazed if he got into the 275 range. I just don't think he's gonna bench that big, but I mean, what do I know? He may, but I would be one to guess he's gonna be closer in the mid 500s, mid 200 kilos.
Yeah, and it seems like I don't know if this is strongman fans. If this is, maybe there's more casual fans to strongman because it is on TV. Right. Maybe it's more people who are less educated in strength sports, but they saw, Eddie Hall, the documentary on Netflix or stuff with Thor on Netflix and Game of Thrones and all that. But there's seems to be a lot of people out there who think, before it seemed like it was Eddie Hall and now with Thor, oh, he's going to break the all-time total world record, by 100 pounds first meet. He's so much stronger than the powerlifters. And let me say, as someone, I consider myself fairly well-versed in these fields, pump the fucking brakes on that one. Is Thor strong as hell? Yes, without a doubt. Incredibly strong guy. That 970 squat, extremely strong. But for him to squat 970 last year and now, a video, 10 days, 2 weeks ago, a 400-kilo squat, like, oh, that 400 kilos look rough.
Yeah.
400 and 440 are a long, those are a long ways apart. I know because I've done both of them. Like, there's a lot of different changes in fitness that can happen with this. Something to consider, and I don't mean this in a accusatory manner by any stretch, but so much of strongman allows equipment like briefs that it's not out of the question that 970 squat might have been in briefs. If he specifically stated in the video that it was not, and I'm not going to scroll back that many months to find it, I'm sure if he said that it was not in the video, then it wasn't. But if it wasn't specified, that's not something that would be shocking to me, especially looking at that 400 kilos. Now, the dude is a really strong squatter, especially, regardless of anything else, but then take into account that he's 6'9", and it's really remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how good at squatting he is. I was just going to say, like, he is a tall son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He is not... the question then becomes, what would his aggregate total be that we think hypothetically he could do versus, that third deadlift rolling around after your full power meet? What's really going to happen? Although he is, I will give him credit for being a strong man. That's probably, he's probably well conditioned for that kind of time frame.
Yeah. On the powerlifter, the criticisms I've seen of what he's doing from powerlifters or from the powerlifters who are trying to make the argument of he's not going to break the record, he's going to total 2250 or something like that. The argument that he's going to be too tired to do a deadlift at the end of the day, I just can't imagine that to be true. I've done a bunch of powerlifting meets. I've done strongman contests. Never a strongman contest as heavy as what Thor has done. But you know, I remember when I did my second strongman show. It was a Sin City strongman hosted by Nick Best. And it was April 2012 in a parking lot in Las Vegas. And it was, you know, 95 degrees out. And we started at 9:30 in the morning and finished at 9 o'clock at night. And by the time that I was done with that, it was like I had done three powerlifting meets in a row, because it's one thing to go heavy on stuff, and that's very challenging. And, but to do, you know, rising bar, like last man standing max deadlifts, and, you know, 900 plus pound yokes to nearly 400 per hand farmers medleys and tire flip keg carry, all this stuff, it's way fucking harder than a powerlifting meet. So I have no fear, you know, that he's going to be worn out to pull his third deadlift. At its absolute hardest, I'd say that this is equivalent to a three event strongman show in one day. And I'm sure he's done, you know, 5, 6, 7 events in a day before. And I think also being at his own gym and everything, it's going to be set up as well as it can be for him. You know, there are people who have taken issue with him doing it as like a backyard meet. Brandon Allen particularly has expressed that to me and expressed it on Thor's page as well. You know, saying that he should have come and done big dogs, and I see where he's coming from for sure. And if he was to break that record, it would be a little bit less satisfying. I think, and a little bit less. I mean, the weights weigh what the weights weigh, but doing it in big head to head competition is harder for sure. And I think that's something that makes Andrei Milanichev and all of his accomplishments that much more impressive, because he's done so many of them in the biggest stages that powerlifting had to offer, and done it against really high level competition.
Yeah, I agree with that. It would be a little unfortunate, you know, if he was to actually break that record in a kind of home gym setting, you know. And also without the chance to kind of put himself in competition with everybody, but probably not as likely as I think a lot of people might assume that he's going to do that. At least from my perspective.
Yeah, you know, I could see. All right, so let's get down to what people want to hear. Let's pick some numbers that he's going to do.
All right.
You wanna go with your? Let's both go the squat. All right, squat first. What's your guess on the squat?
Based on that 400 that I saw, I would be going to guess he's probably going to take something like he may have a third attempt shot at somewhere in the range of 420 to 430 would be like the absolute limit. Probably more like 420, 425. It's hard to gauge because, you know, we know he's done more, and let's assume that's raw.
Yeah.
But, and that 400, let's just say that 400 is, you know, really fatigued and he's going to have a lot more in him. But again, you know, it's like how well does a guy that tall grind through a squat? You know, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm going to say it's probably in the low fours, though, somewhere between maybe like 425, 430 at the maximum.
Yeah, I think
above that.
I think I'm right on that 430 as the number. You know, because that 400 looked rough, but then he had a video, what seemed like just a few days after it, and you know, in another country there in Las Vegas doing 380 for a triple that looked like he was on his way to a set of, you know, 7 or 8.
Yeah, that's what's tough, right? But then I think 430 is a good number.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, 430 is my, we'll say 430 is the cumulative prediction, the team prediction. In the bench press, the heaviest that I have seen him post is 2x2 with 235, and that was 7 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you my best bench in training ever is 260. And I might have done 240 for a double prior to that. But about 235 to 240 for a double would have been my best prior to doing 260.
Now, yeah.
On the other side of that, when I benched 257.5 in competition, my best training bench was like 237. I did 237 in training for a single, and then 257 in competition. I don't know that he will be as successful as I was in that case peaking, but...
that would be my biggest, like, my biggest sort of question mark is how well is he peaking and kind of focused on this. He's focused on it. Obviously, he's doing a power meet, but is he, like, has he been training for this for 16 weeks or for 6 months? His mind has been on this? Like, has he been planning on that kind of stuff? Or is it kind of like... I'll do a little bit less strongman for 2 months and just continue my normal stuff.
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. That I know they had a really big, huge prize money contest in Dubai not that long ago.
Right, he was there.
Yeah, if he's doing 235 for two doubles, I think on the low end he benches 250. On the high end, probably 260.
Yeah, I'm going to go for... I would go right in there. I would say 250 is my prediction on his successful bench.
Yeah. So finally, we come to the deadlift. You know, he's done well in excess of over 1,000 pounds, over 460 kilos with... different strongman implements. I don't know what his best strongman deadlift on a deadlift bar, calibrated plates, but you know, straps, equipment, hitching aside, is.
Yeah.
Now this video, he does 400 kilos, I think, for two singles. And so the first thing we got to think about, okay, he's not pulling with straps, but.
Yeah, that's a big one.
He is 6'9", 440 pounds, and his hands are the size of catcher's mitts. So the idea that he's going to not be able to hold on to a deadlift, I don't think that is that's worth bringing up.
Yeah, probably not.
You know, there are some advantages, I think, that the straps give mechanically. Especially as you get bigger and bigger, the way you can get in position and roll the bar with that double overhand grip. But
yeah.
I don't foresee him having an issue holding on to the bar. He made his 400 kilos look very light. He is strong.
It's a tough one because on one side, you don't want to undershoot it and say, oh, he's only going to pull, you know, low 400s. On the flip side, you don't want to sit there and think, like, I don't think he's going to pull over, I'm going to say, I don't think he's going to pull over 440. I mean, that's a huge, huge pull. And while he does perform very well in the deadlift on a lot of stuff, I think there's so many other circumstances surrounding that, you know, straps and double overhand, you know, different bars, different implements, maybe deadlift being kind of a little better, maybe better conditions, you know, where it's maybe the first thing he's done that day or who knows what, mm-hmm. right? All those factors might add up to the point where I would say I would probably go on the little bit lower side and say that 440 is probably the limit of what he's going to pull. It's also a matter of what he attempts, right? Yeah. Because while it's cool to say he's going to pull 1,000 pounds, he may pull, you know, he may open at 385 or something, or 390, jump to, you know, 415 or 420 or something, and then take a shot at something conservative like 440, or he may open at like 400 or 410 and then jump right to, you know, 450 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There might be like some really just odd attempts where he's left with, you know, missing one by a little bit, but it puts him down. He's only actually pulled 430 or something.
Yeah. So the record, 1140 kilos is the total record. Still, Milanichev, Big Dogs won, where I was also competing. And, yeah, I think we're looking at Thor here. If he's 430, 260, 440, that's 1130.
Yeah.
So it could be right there. But, again, this is 9 for 9, and I see fans of powerlifting and lifters themselves get into this all the time. They think about these, you know, big meets like Big Dogs or U.S. Open, and like, well, this guy's going to break the all-time total world record, and this other guy's going to break his all-time total world record, and this guy's going to squat 1,000, this guy's going to pull 900. And then fucking none of them actually do any of these things. And
exactly.
Yeah, and it's the guy who goes 7 for 9 who ends up winning because everyone else took attempts like an asshole and went 4 for 9 or something.
It's very true, though. I mean, that's the reality. I would give him a lower end on the deadlift. I'm gonna say more than the squat, but probably a limit of like 440 would be the absolute limit, is my guess.
Yeah, I think total wise, I think he's gonna go over 1,100 kilos. It should be a favorable situation for him at home gym. You know, as far as like the pressure of the event isn't gonna be shit. You know, he's done way way bigger events than this. You know, I'd like to think that the judging is going to be to a high standard and all that kind of stuff. And his lifts, I've never seen lifts that he does that look like questionable, really. But hopefully this is not the first time that there are questionable lifts, because I wouldn't foresee him getting, you know, that there's going to be any judges in Thor's power gym to give Thor red lights on any of his lifts. So hopefully that's not much of an issue. But
is Stan going to be there? Because if Stan's judging, no, it's white lights all day.
It is. His red light button was broken at Record Breakers.
Must have been.
I think low end, you know, if he only makes 2 squats and if he like 6 for 9 kind of day, then he's probably in the 1,070 range. 9 for 9, you know, maybe, yeah, 1130, 1140 is not out of the question. I don't think he's, especially when you watch the lifts, like they're clean, and he is just unbelievably big, strong guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's exciting. I'm actually really excited to see what he does, because I think he's one of those ones that you really want to see what he can do, you know. And it's like, it's such a cool thing to see that he's actually making this transition to do it, and not just you know, not just kind of saying it, oh, one day I'm gonna do this or that, but you know, that's cool to me. I like that.
Definitely. So to that end, who are some other crossover type of people you'd be interested to see?
I'd love to see some more weightlifters crossover to powerlifting. Probably more, you know, more guys in the sort of not necessarily the high end. And well, actually, yeah, maybe some of those like Iranian guys. I think we saw that video of
Ali Husseini,
doing the hook grip 370 with no belt. That looked like he was going to do a clean. You know, not that these numbers are as gigantic, but I'm sure with training they would do, you know, they would do huge numbers.
Yeah, I mean, the most impressive videos for Ali Husseini, I think, were the 200 kilo bent over rows, which looked like, I mean, like they were 60 kilos, and his 100 kilo standing skull crushers.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, there's just an insane amount of strength inside those guys. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of something inside of them.
Ilya.
Ilya would be kind of neat, but I don't know how well he would fare. I mean, I don't know. It's Ilya Illin, so I mean, he would probably just find a way to win. But
yeah, quite possibly a horrendous deadlift, but should be a very strong bencher, and we know a very strong squatter. You know, that first time that we spent any time with Ilya back in 2013, December, and his English was very, very poor, but he was I think in one of the breaks, we were asking him, you know, how much could he squat, and he had mentioned how he only would do front squats, like up to 285 kilos, I think, or he wouldn't back squat past what his front squat was at the time when he was a 94. And
I think you had asked him someone had asked him, maybe it was you, if he would do powerlifting or what he thought he could squat if he did powerlifting.
Yeah,
and he kind of made some. He's kind of confused, and he kind of just was like, "Well, I would win. I would be world champion."
He said that he thinks he could squat if he had to do a back squat max 350 kilos. And then he looked at me and said, "I powerlift world champion," and put his hands up victoriously. And I was like, "Yes, you probably would be powerlift world champion."
Right.
Yeah, he would be fun to watch. Klokov, any of those guys. Yeah, I think one that's been in this Thor conversation, something that's come up, has been Larry Wheels doing strongman. And there, you know, I saw a lot of people who are like, "Oh, he's too small, this and that." And okay, is he lighter than Thor and you know, 400-pound World Strongest Man guys? Yes, certainly. But he is unbelievably strong, insane overhead strength. He's going to be faster than guys just on being lighter, you know, light and younger. And so the explosiveness and stuff shouldn't be a problem. I would be very interested to see how he would do there.
He's definitely a big dude. He's just not. He doesn't have the height that the other guys have.
Yeah,
would be my only concern. Also, he doesn't have. He's a lot more like smaller waisted.
Certainly,
which would be one of those things where you kind of wonder if that would affect him. You know, like is that going to be a big hindrance just in the handling those weights and how stable he is?
But, yeah. But, you know, in the Starting Strongman page and stuff, I saw so many people who, when there was talk of Larry doing strongman, like, "Oh, it's not that easy for a powerlifter to cross over and be really good in strongman." I'm reading that like, hold on. I did that. And, I mean, it's different, but it's, if you're fucking strong, like, it's, if you're strong and athletic, you're going to be pretty good at strongman. The events are not that complex that he's not going to be successful, and he's a hell of a lot stronger than I was or am, particularly overhead. So I would have a hard time thinking that he wouldn't be very, very successful. And you get a guy like, you know, Martin Lykus, who's, you know, smaller, about 6'1", 6'2", maybe 315. And been hugely successful, you know, granted a lot of great training with Ode Haugen and a lot of exposure to the events and stuff, but Larry is, he's unbelievable. So he'd be interesting to watch. I know a couple days ago, Eddie Hall announced his official retirement from Strongman. I don't know if that opens up the door to him doing a full power meet, and he's you know, and he is not the as beast as the Beast once was. He's looking pretty lean. In terms of,
looked like he was turned into the obese there for a while.
Man, he was unbelievably big, and when he was that big, I think there was a lot of people like, oh, he'd set all the powerlifting world records, and yes, he had done tremendous lifts, but watching some of those lifts, I struggled to think like if he actually could squat to depth, like if his body, you know, could go to that angle, or if his hamstring was just running into his calf so much.
Well, he'd probably be fine, and he could hit up the WPO and probably every record.
Huge bencher, and then his deadlift is incredibly strong deadlifter as he is. I don't have the same confidence that without straps he would be able to do what I think Thor can do. Because when you're Eddie Hall and you're, 6'2", maybe 6'3", 430 pounds, like, his hands had to be so thick and bloated. Like, his ability to hold on to a really heavy deadlift, I think, could have been compromised quite a bit. I know, man, it must have been back in, 2014 or so. I was in Australia. I had just competed, and he did a exhibition. I just remember hearing about it from one of the lifters in Australia, and Eddie Hall had done an exhibition push pull meet, and I think did 280, 420, so 617, 925, 926.
Wow.
But the bench was not paused, and the deadlift was with straps. So I wonder, for some of those guys, is it like, what's the, if all the Eddie Hall fanboys in the world already think that he would break the record, what good is there for him to try and break it and possibly prove them wrong? Like, all you could do is prove them wrong, because they already believe it with every fiber of their being. He has some of the most fervent online supporters there is. And to that effect, I really commend Thor for putting it on the line here. Would it be cool to see him do it in a bigger meet against high level powerlifters? Yeah, that would be great. But assuming everything is above board and the judging is solid at this, then he doesn't have to do that to prove stuff to anyone. He's still, the Mountain and the World's Strongest Man, and doing car and vodka commercials in Europe and all this stuff. He doesn't need to do a fucking powerlifting meet, but he's doing it because he's a competitive guy. So that's cool to see.
Absolutely, that's a great point. Once somebody already thinks something of you, right? What's the point in proving them wrong? And then the fact that Thor is doing that.
Yeah, because even people like a Dana Lynn Bailey coming to do powerlifting.
Yeah, right.
Most Dana Lynn Bailey fans probably had no idea what powerlifting was, but they probably thought that she was the best, the strongest woman to ever walk the earth. And so it's like all she could do was prove them wrong.
Right.
And still, went and competed and did that stuff despite that. So,
yeah.
They were all like, and I'm saying all she could do is prove them wrong, because they already thought that she was the best. So going out and being the best would have just been like, oh yes, of course. It's sort of like a no win situation. So nothing to gain, at least. I think other people who would be really interesting to see crossover would be some of these Chinese weightlifters doing powerlifting. The lighter weight classes, as there's, we know huge squats. Yeah, Tian Tao is tremendous. He would be very interesting to see.
But again, that deadlift's probably pretty rough with those little short arms. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're so freakishly strong. I mean, probably still pulling 300 plus.
And so flexible and stuff, the position, the sumo position they could get in would have to be
true.
Pretty excellent.
True. Yeah, it's very cool. Chinese would be a definite. It'd be definitely cool to see that for sure.
Yeah. So quickly on some things that if you are interested in trying to compete multiple strength sports, some things you could do to help help your cause there. If it's super total that you want to do powerlifting, weightlifting combination, we have entire podcasts, entire videos on super total training, plus Max's super total club coaching through the Juggernaut site. So go check those out. In terms of powerlifting and strongman being combined, that's something that I did myself. I competed in just powerlifting for a couple years, then just strongman for about a year, and then only like 6 months of combining them. First off, don't combine them the same way I did, which was 1 month do a powerlifting meet, the next month do a strongman contest, the next month do a powerlifting meet, the next month do a strongman contest. That's a short-lived strategy. First 5 weeks,
right?
Yeah, first 5 months of 2012, I did LA Fit Expo Pro Strongman Show. Then I squatted 700 for 10. So that was like the end of January. Then I did a 700 for 10 squat in the animal cage at the Arnold right at the end of February, beginning of March. Then later in March, I did a meet, I believe that you did as well, up at old Super Training Gym.
Yep.
Then in April, I did the Sin City Strongman Show again. The second year I had done that show, and that was like a Giants Live qualifier, Robert Oberst, you know, some big high-level competitors, very heavy show. And then that was in April. And then in May, I did a USPA meet out in Kentucky, where I actually made a lifetime total PR at the end of that. At the time, was 21.71. And then about maybe 5 weeks after that, I was starting to train for the CAPO meet in Australia and herniated the discs in my back, or at least got to a point with those discs where I couldn't keep going, even though in hindsight I realized they'd probably been fucked for quite a bit of time before that.
Right.
Yeah, so not the best strategy, but if you were to take the training I did for those and spread them out over, you know, like a year and a half instead of, you know, 5 months, then you'd be onto something. And basically what that was figure out, you know, what your weak points are and what's coming next. So when I was training for a strongman contest with knowing that a powerlifting meet was going to be coming behind it, but the strongman contest, I would set my training up pretty much always as 4 day a week training, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday is what I like. And Monday would be overhead pressing, so log or axle, whatever we needed to be ready for. Wednesday would be the deadlift and some kind of strongman event, like deadlift and farmer's walks. Friday would be, or sorry, this is getting ready for a strongman contest. So Wednesday would be squat and deadlift. Friday would be some accessory press training, so bench press training. And then Saturday was like a big event day, you know, farmers, yoke, stones, medleys, very, very long, hard day of training. If it was time to get ready for a powerlifting meet and I knew that a strongman contest was going to come up behind it, or I had to still stay in touch with the strongman stuff, it would be bench press on Monday, deadlift and like farmers or something on Wednesday, some accessory press training, so overhead press mostly on Friday, but in an accessory manner. And then Saturday would be squat and a little bit of event work like stones or yoke. And I would just sort of ebb and flow between those things. And competing in both sports, especially if you're a strongman who lacks like static strength, weight room strength, yeah, competing in a powerlifting meet can be a great way to keep yourself accountable to improving those qualities and allow you to prioritize your training that way. If you're a powerlifter who's maybe just kind of burnt out on the monotony of squat, bench, and deadlift, or wants to build some work capacity, you know, farther away from your important powerlifting meets, then definitely doing some strongman type of training can be beneficial with that. You know, the biggest thing, and I think the probably most common qualities between the Bruce Wilhelms and Shane Haymans and Chen Weilings and Oleg Parapetchnikov and Misha and John Cole, is that they're athletic people and they did athletic training to do that. So strongman is more athletic than powerlifting. You have to move under heavy load. So doing that kind of training, doing some jumps and some, you know, maybe not getting on the track and doing sprints, but it's like some hill sprints or sled sprints, you know, just moving around, different kind of carries, variety is going to be helpful too. But it's all about how you structure that within the bigger picture of the year. And making yourself do challenging training from a work capacity standpoint to be able to handle all of this training. So being strategic about how you build that stuff up is also going to be really, really important. But you know, if you can jump, if you're doing some jumps and some throws, some kind of sprint related training, doing that kind of stuff once or twice a week, squatting and deadlifting, some sort of carries, and then pressing, both bench pressing and overhead pressing, and you have aerobic capacity work alongside all of that, there's a very good chance that you can go and do well in strongman and well in powerlifting and have fun doing it. And that's you know, really probably the most important thing. Are you going to be the best in the world at both of them? Well, you know, if Thor Bjornsson is listening to this, yeah, maybe he will be, or Bill Kazmaier, you know, but assuming that's not you, no, you're not going to be the best in the world at both of them, but you can still enjoy doing it and improve it at both of them. So just some stuff to keep in mind. If you want some more information to that sort of GPP type of training, two Beers with Chad episodes about that. One, I think it's called Putting the G in Your PP, and the other one is called My Biggest Powerlifting Mistake. So check both of those out, and I talk a little bit more in depth about them there. Max, upcoming events for you?
I've got a seminar scheduled in January 20th. I'll be in Germany. And then on the 7th, I have powerlifting in the same area, place, for those of you interested.
And I have 6 clinics open for registration right now. 6 powerlifting clinics, so the first 6 months of the year, 1 per month. That's in Oakland, Salt Lake City, Athens, Georgia, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Indianapolis, and Long Island, New York. I'll be announcing dates for later in the year, probably Southern California, either Boston or Philadelphia, Texas, and something international. I'm thinking Brazil, hopefully Brazil. So be on the lookout for those, but you can register for those first six of the year now. Check out my new book, Powerlifting Program Design Manual, if you want sort of a, not quite paint by numbers, but a very, you know, principled way to approach program design, and it I think does a really good job of bridging the gap between scientific principles of strength training and then just giving you programs, but kind of the intermediary steps of how to get from just the principles to really sets and reps and how it's all laid out. So check that out, as well as our AI coaching. You can learn more about the AI coaching and follow along with me as I use it in a YouTube series called Chad's AI Coaching Log. I just put up the first one yesterday. The second, the regular installments will be coming every Wednesday, so be on the lookout for those. Otherwise, online coaching for powerlifting, weightlifting, super total, strongman, and power building can all be found through the JTS website, jtsstrength.com. Newly designed, redesigned website, newly redesigned store. So go check that out for us. Check out Max's books, Weightlifting Technique Triad, Strength Development for Weightlifting, and Beginner's Guide to Weightlifting. Sign up for some clinics. Subscribe to the podcast. 5-star review, iTunes, all that good stuff. Subscribe to the YouTube. Too many things to list. Max, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Max_Ada, on Facebook, or you can email me, max@jtsstrength.com.
And I'm Chad Wesley Smith, at Chad Wesley Smith, and at Juggernaut Training on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.